This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
One Sunday, a man commented to his pastor, "Pastor, I'm frustrated at work. It seems like my faith isn't making any difference where I work. Do you have any ideas?" Well, his pastor thought about it for a second and made a suggestion and said, "Bill, why don't you develop a strategy for impacting your office for Christ?" Bill paused for a moment, then responded, "You mean like an evangelistic strategy?" "Yeah," his pastor replied, "something like that." Again, Bill paused, "You mean do this at work?" The pastor said, "That's right." Bill thought about it, then smiled and said, "You know, I never thought of that." Well, maybe it surprises you that someone would have never thought of an evangelistic strategy for work. Or maybe it doesn't surprise you at all because maybe you've never thought of it. If you've never thought of it, you're not alone. William Hendricks wrote, "Evangelism for so many Christians means a special event at church or maybe hospital visitation. They never think about the workplace as a forum for the gospel." In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." What a relevant message to our work worlds today. I recently read most people never enter a church for any reason. But the greatest majority of households have at least one person from that house in the workplace. In fact, work may be the only place many of them will ever be exposed to a Christian. Then why are so many Christians silent about their faith when they go to work? Many reasons are given. Not enough time. It's hard to get alone. I want to be a good employee and not mix business with personal affairs. I don't want to be pushy. Lots of good, honorable reasons. The reason I hear most for not wanting to talk about our faith in the workplace is due to the prevalent idea in our society that I have no right to, quote, force my beliefs on someone else, especially my religious beliefs. And that sounds like a good reason. I've used that argument, in fact, myself. But it is based on some very wrong assumptions. Generally, we think of the workplace as a neutral setting. Everybody believes what they want to believe, and we get along fine, right? Well, in actuality, the workplace is anything but neutral. Every day when you and I go to work, whether it's in a factory or in an office or in the classroom or in your home, you bring to your workplace a distinctive set of values, your beliefs, your opinions, your worldview. And every day, whether you know it or not, you act and communicate your worldview to your coworkers, and they are doing the same to you. And what happens? Your beliefs, your opinions, your values are in a constant tug of war with other people's beliefs and opinions and values. Hour after hour, day after day, this tug match goes on. And in this tug match, there will be winners and there will be losers. There will be leaders and there will be followers. There will be those who influence and there will be those who are influenced. So, the question is not really whether someone has the right to force her beliefs on someone else. That's happening all the time. The question really is, are you going to lead or are you going to follow? Are you going to influence or will you be influenced? Take, for example, you're on coffee break with several of your coworkers. One of them drops his voice and says, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so?" He repeats some gossip he's heard the day before. What's happening? Who is your coworker influencing? What about each of the listeners? What about you? Or suppose on another occasion you overhear a supervisor correcting one of her direct reports. She's firm and to the point, but she never raises her voice. She doesn't assault the dignity of the guy she's talking to. As the conversation concludes, the two shake hands before going back to work. What's going on there? See, this goes on all day long. You and your coworkers communicate by the hours you keep, by your being on time or not, by the way you deal with your spouse on the phone, by the comments you make about customers, by the way you fill out reports. You're either influencing or being influenced all the time. So, are you strategic in your influence for Christ at work? Jesus' declaration that the fields are ripe for harvest can be applied to our workplaces, too.
This has been a presentation of Member Care Media. We invite you to explore our website, where we offer audio features and resources for you and your entire family. We also have links to other websites that can provide further answers and resources to meet your needs. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.